Chief Rabbi Av Besdin, Moronin V'Rabbanan V'Rabbeisai, ladies and gentlemen, if tomorrow evening you notice a strong breeze wafting through Johannesburg, it is the sigh of relief that Rabbi Goldstein and his staff will be emitting. I don't know if you can imagine what it takes to bring off such an affair. The logistics, the planning, nothing short of mind-boggling. If you've ever made a simcha, bar mitzvah, chasana, and you have to invite 200 people, you know what's involved in pulling off such an affair. Multiply that, it's 3,000 people, kenayna hara, ken yirbu, and bringing in speakers from all over the world. I know that the two happiest people tomorrow evening will be Mrs. Goldstein and Mrs. Pogrund, because they will be getting their husbands back. We all owe a tremendous tremendous yashar koach and tizkus l'mitzvos. This should be a schus for this entire community. It's such a kiddush Hashem. It's a schus to be here, to see this vast olam. It was worth the 16-hour flight from Washington, D.C. I'm going to speak about mission statements tonight. What's a mission statement? Even the smallest company in the United States, a businessman and his secretary and a two-line telephone have a mission statement. A mission statement is a sentence or two or paragraph which the company describes what its purpose is, what it plans to accomplish. Even organizations, nonprofit organizations, everyone has a mission statement. Sometimes mission statements have to change because businesses change. For example, recently Mayor Michael Bloomberg of the city of New York wants to enact a law that you cannot buy a soda more than 16 ounces in the city of New York because Americans are getting too fat, and Michael Bloomberg wants to solve that by having 16-ounce sodas. In this last Sunday's New York Times, there was a full-page ad by the Coca-Cola company. And in case you're wondering, a full-page ad in the Sunday Times will set you back a couple rands, in which Coca-Cola announced all of its 105 products in which are sugar-free. Because Coca-Cola sees the writing on the wall, and they see that if they don't change, they're going to be out of business. And therefore, they have branched out into all sorts of things besides the ubiquitous Coke, which we find all over the world. As the Panovich Arov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once said, he's traveled the world and he's seen only two things in every place that he's been, and that is Coca-Cola and Lubavitch. And that came from a misnagid. On the other hand, if you don't change with the times, you go out of business. I watched the stock of the Kodak company drop to below $1 until the Kodak company declared bankruptcy. Can you imagine that? The Kodak company, which was synonymous with films, it's become an expression. This is a Kodak moment for a company like that to go bankrupt because it didn't change with the times. What's the mission statement of the Jewish people, and has it changed? The mission statement of the Jewish people was and is basically always the same. What's our mission statement? Simply stated, it is to create Kiddush Hashem, to bring honor and kavod to the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty God. That's our mission statement. but there was a sea change in how and where that's supposed to happen. And it in fact happened on the most infamous night of the year, and that's the night of Tisha B'Av, which we read about in this week's Parsha. When the Meraglim, the spies, came back with their terrible report about the land of Israel, God said, I had enough. This is it. I want to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, pleaded with the Jew, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he said, don't do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu advanced the following argument. Mibilti yecheles Hashem lohavi asam azeh asher nishpa lohem. Because not to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel would create a Achil Hashem. It would desecrate your names. The peoples of the world would say that God's not powerful enough to bring the people into Israel. The Ribbono Shel Olam, God Almighty, accepted that argument, and he said, Salachti kidvarecha, I'll bring them in. I won't destroy them. But there's one pasuk in there that seems almost like a non sequitur. It doesn't belong there, it doesn't fit into the narrative. And that pasuk is V'ulam Chayoninu Hashem, that God Almighty Kaviyochol swears, and he says, V'yimalei Kved Hashem is kol ha'aretz, let my kavod fill the entire world. What does that have to do with the context? What does that have to do with anything? Why is that part of the narrative? And the answer for that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, yes, I won't destroy the Jewish people, but their mission has changed. And rather than the Kiddush Hashem emanating from the land of Israel and from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh, and the Beis HaMikdash, I am going to spread them out into the entire world, and the Kiddush Hashem is to be created not in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim from a Beis HaMikdash that would have never been destroyed had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, but that Kiddush Hashem is going to occur in Portugal and in Spain and in Europe and in Germany and Lithuania and South Africa and the United States of America. And that's how our mission statement changed. It's not going to happen. Had we gone into Israel, the Beis HaMikdash would have been built by Moshe Rabbeinu, would have never been destroyed. There would be daily miracles, and the entire planet would say, Hashem Hu Elohim, God is Almighty, is the right God. No Christianity, no Islam, no Buddhism. But you blew it. And now you have to spend what's called Golus, which has been the dominant history of the Jewish people since their inception. And the Kiddush Hashem has to happen here. You have to sanctify my name, and you have to bring me Kavod and Kiddush Hashem among the Umas Ha'olam, among the nations of the world. And this is in fact, and time doesn't permit me to give it its full elaboration, but if you look in Tehillim Kuvav, you look in Psalms, David HaMelech writes over there, when he recounts the story of the Jews and the Meraglim, he says, Lahapil zarim bagoyim ulzareisim ba'arotzais, that now they're supposed to create this Kiddush Hashem and sanctify God's name and make God proud of us, not only in the land of Israel, but throughout the entire world. And that people of the world should say, as the Novi Yeshaya puts it, Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael, asher b'chayas po'er, you are my nation Israel, who I am proud of. That's our mission statement. May Kiddush Hashem in Johannesburg and in Cape Town and in Durban and in Port Elizabeth and Pretoria and in Baltimore and in Oregon and all over the world. There are few things that are a bigger contradiction to that mission statement if Jews are being dishonest and lack of integrity. Let me read to you the words of the Smag, one of the Rishonim, the early commentators. And this is actually a Smag which I heard from my Rebbe in Jewish history, Rabbi Beryl Wein. That the Smag writes, Kvar Darashi Legolas Yerushalayim Asher B'Sfarad, that I preached to the exiles of Jerusalem who are living in Spain, that in order for us to fulfill our mission, we must be honest with Jews and non-Jews alike. And that we must cling to the signet of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is truth. And then the Smag writes and he says, and when that day will come that God will redeem the Jewish people, Yoimru Hagoyim, the Umas Ha'olam, the nations of the world will say, Bidin Osa, God knows what he's doing. Kihem Anshe Emes, because they're Erlecha people, they're honest people. V'tayres Emes Befiyem, and listen to these words, Avalim Yisnahu Guim Hagoyim Beramos, but if they'll treat and they'll cheat the non-Jews, Yoimru, the Goyim will say, Ma'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, what did God do? Shebachar Lechelkai Ganovim V'ramoyim. What was God thinking that he took a bunch of crooks for his people? To hear those words, Ma'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shenatan La'amai Ganovim V'ramoyim. Unfortunately, I don't know the situation here, but I can tell you that certainly in the United States and in other countries, we're not doing a good job of this. There are far too many scandals involving Jewish people. So how do we change society? How do we change the mindset of people that you gotta be erlich? You gotta be honest. So I've learned something that I never would have believed. But I've seen something over the last 20 years that to me is a sociological miracle. And that is you can change how people think. And I want to give you two examples. Number one is smoking. In the United States of America, if you smoke, you are a pariah. You can see people outside of office buildings in Manhattan in any major city during their lunch hour when it is 6 degrees above zero. I don't know how to translate that into centigrade, but let me tell you, it's cold, okay? What you guys call winter here is a gelechter. That means a joke. And people will stand in the doorways of buildings smoking because you cannot smoke in a public place in the United States of America. It wasn't like that. And I remember the days when I used to fly going back and forth to yeshiva. When on the airplanes, after they served the meal, which they no longer do in the United States, that they would hand you out a little pack of 3 cigarettes. This is true. They would give you after dinner smoke with 3 cigarettes. If you light up a cigarette today in an airplane, that is a federal crime and you'll be put in jail. At my chasana, which is Kanai Nahara almost 40 years ago, we handed out matchbooks with the monogram of Yisachar and Nechama Frand. Now, why would you hand out matches at a chasana? In case someone's a pyromaniac? Because everybody smoked. And now, smoking is just untouchable. You do not, just don't smoke. You know, I'm a Rebbe in the yeshiva, and people call me all the time. They ask me about boys in terms of shidduchim for their daughters. One of the most oft-asked questions that I get is, does he smoke? We changed America. We changed how people thought. Of course, $25 billion from the tobacco companies in order to make that campaign certainly helps. But in our society, we change society as well. Because we have revolutionized the aveira of lashon hara, of speaking ill, of slander. And how did we do that? We did that with education. We did that with Tisha B'Av programs that are so popular in this country and all over the world. We did it because we started learning it before a Daf Yomi or after Daf Yomi. We did it because we put it into schools. And we made lashon hara off limits. And even today, if from time to time we fall into the trap and we do speak lashon hara, but the conversation usually begins with the words, this may be lashon hara, but... but you gotta say that. And that's what has to happen when it comes to honesty and integrity. This has to be the mantra of our households. Mimuz Zayin Erlich. You have to be honest. We have to teach that to our children day out, day in, day out. And it starts with us. It starts with us, how we fill out our tax forms. It starts with us, how we fill out our tuition reduction forms in our yeshivas. It starts with us when you go to an amusement park or you go to a game reserve in this country, and 12 and below is a different price than 12 and above, and you have a 13-year-old that's small for their age, and you tell them you're 11. You know what kind of message that sends? It's got to start with us. You know, if there was one Gadol B'Yisrael who exemplified and personified what it means to be Erlich, it is Rabbi Enkiv Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It is no coincidence that the name of his sefer is Emes LeYaakov. And if there's one biography that you should read this biography of Rabbi Enkiv Kamenetsky. He personified Emes. Just to give you one example, when Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky was Rav in Toronto, so for Purim, his kehila gave him a silver platter as a present. A couple days after Purim, one of his congregants sees Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky in downtown Toronto at a pawn shop with the silver platter. Here, they give him a present, and he's going to pawn it at a pawn shop. So in the age-old tradition of Balabatim, they call Rabbi Yankov in for a meeting, which they want to call him on the carpet. We give you a present, and you want to pawn it? Rabbi Yankov says, I wasn't trying to pawn it. But the halacha says that gifts that a Rav gets are part of his salary. So I want to know how much I should declare on my income tax, what's it's worth. That's Ehrlichkeit. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichroina Livrocha, used to travel from Chicago to New York where he gave Shira in Yeshiva University. So he used to fly. One time Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik's mother-in-law wanted to go back to Chicago. But she was afraid to fly on the plane. So Baron Soloveitchik said he'd accompany her by train. They get to the train station, and the ticket agent tells Baron Soloveitchik with his mother-in-law, you're in luck. today spouses ride for free. So Byron says to the agent, she's not my wife, she's my mother-in-law. She says, we don't ask for marriage licenses here. So I want to see your supervisor. Supervisor comes and says, he says, what's the problem? He says, I can't pay, she can't ride for free, she's my mother-in-law. He says, you look old enough to be her husband. You don't have to be an autumn guttle. I know a Yid. His name was Meshi Yehuda Genauer. He was a Galitzianer Yid that came to Seattle, Washington, my hometown, in the early part of the 1900s. And he started out like so many poor Jews in America. He started out being a peddler. So what would he do? He'd go around to the rich neighborhoods of Seattle and he would ask the wealthy people if they had old suits that they were ready to get rid of. And then he would go ahead and he'd sell them. So he went to this man and he went and he gave him a couple of his suits. And after he got home, he's looking through the pockets and he found diamond-studded cufflinks. Meshi Yehuda Genauer went back to this person, Nisht Ayid, Me'umas Ha'olam, and he said, I found these cufflinks in the pocket. He says, you're an honest Jew. You're an honest person. This man happened to be the president of the First National Bank of Seattle, Washington. He said, when you need a loan, you come to me. And he came back to him and he lent him $300 for which he started the M. Genauer & Company, which was a clothing business which was in existence for 70 or 80 years. That's the type of stories our children have to hear from us. How our Zaydis and how our Bubbis were honest, were Ehrlich. That's the mission statement. That's the Kiddush Hashem. And the other message that they have to hear from us, day in, day out, is Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. Make a good impression. You're wearing a yarmulke. You look like a Jew. Your name is Cohen or Goldberg or Goldman. They know you're Jewish. And we're not doing a good job at that either. Somebody recently told me, this is a machla in America, cell phones. The guy goes into a line of a supermarket. He's on the cell phone. He puts his groceries on the cart. He does not acknowledge the existence of the checkout girl. He is on the cell phone the entire time. Finally, when it's time to play, he flips her a credit card. Nishkein hello, nishkein goodbye, nishkein thank you, nishkein good day. Garnished. That means nothing. So behind him is another Jew, an obviously looking Jew. And the checkout girl says to this person, what's with you people? You can't say hello. You can't say thank you. That's what we're talking. Civility. You know, that's probably not a problem in this country because you're so civil. But the children, they say thank you, no thank you. It's beautiful. But like everything else, you'll get there. When Rabbi Chanan Wasserman came to America to collect money for the Baranovitch Yeshiva, and he stayed, and he used to stay in the Broadway Central Hotel, and he used to go to Torah V'Das to daven, he'd ask the bucher who took him to davening, wie sagt man auf Englisch, good morgen? How do you say in English, good morning? Be a mensch. I've given this speech before, and I once gave it in a crowd, and there was a person who worked for the Foreign Service of the United States of America. He was in the State Department. He said that part of the course, they would tell them that you are an ambassador of the United States of America, and you may be in a country that you will be the only American that they will ever see. You represent the United States of America, and you have to make a good impression with everyone that you meet. Well, guess what? We are ambassadors of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Melech Malchei Hamlocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with every person that we meet, every person, you have the opportunity to make Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. I'll close with one last story. Maaseh Shehayah, a true story. Not as Rabbi Wein says that if it hasn't happened, it will happen, but it's actually happened. I know a person, he's a salesman. So he's traveling from Boston to Vermont, the middle of the winter, the real winter. And he gets into the security line, in which the United States, you have to take off your shoes to go through security. The last time I was in South Africa, I may mention that when I got into the security line, I asked if the black fellow, do I have to take off my shoes? I don't know if this is the case still today, but the person says to me, we are a civilized country. So his worst nightmare happens. He gets to the other end of security, and there's a pair of size 7 shoes waiting for him, and he's a size 10. Now, what the other guy is walking around with his shoes, I don't know the answer to that one. But he can't get his shoes. He can't get his feet in the shoes. So the guy calls his manager, the supervisor, will give you a voucher. You can go to one of the stores in the airport. You can buy yourself a pair of shoes. He says, I don't have time to buy myself a pair of shoes. I have to catch a flight. This guy's wearing a yarmulke, a suit, a white shirt, and a tie. So a woman sees this guy's predicament. So she says, I have a pair of slippers in my carry-on. So she takes out the slippers. They're pink slippers. So you got the picture. Yarmulke, suit, shirt, tie, pink slippers. He may be sending the wrong message. So he goes in stocking feet onto the plane. He sits next to a guy on the plane and he says, you know, I saw this whole story unfolding. And you know what amazes me? He didn't curse. He didn't swear. He didn't use foul language. You are a credit to your nation. That's what it's about. That Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to say, Avdi Ata Yisrael, you are my trusted servant, Asher B'chayas Poyer, and I'm so proud of you. That's our mission statement. Good night, good vach, Shavua Tov, and a good yard.